Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Captain America, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie, now walking back his disdain for America after we played you the clip a few days ago on the cut sheet as he's set to take over the Captain America role coming out. I believe that movie comes out later this spring. And Anthony Mackie, very good actor. But again, we just don't want to hear the anti-America commentary when you're here making millions, because that's what you can do in this country. We'll have some thoughts on all of that. And then also, with Super Bowl 59, how are they preparing for alleged, possible, conceivable terror attacks just a month removed from the tragedy at the Sugar Bowl? We'll get to that story as well. But a lot to get caught up on. Obviously, the big breaking news with what happened in Arlington. And for that and more, we go to the great Dawn Stensland for round number two of the news here at 7:06.
Yes, and good morning. We do have that breaking news. We are sponsored in Kale & Company News Live. Good morning. This Thursday morning, January 30th, sponsored by Robert Half. So as we look at the search and rescue, and yes, this is still being called search and rescue as opposed to search and recovery. So that's a big difference, the mission here, but a very difficult mission this morning for hundreds of first responders after this tragic plane crash. So the aircraft, one, a commercial aircraft, 64 people on board colliding with a military helicopter with three people on board, not far from Reagan International. So we know that at least 30 bodies have been pulled from the 36-degree waters of the Potomac River there in the D.C. area as these all of these different search crews continue to search the water. American Eagle Flight 5342 was carrying 60 passengers as well as four crew members when it crashed. That's according to American Airlines. We're getting more information this morning as that search continues in the Potomac. And this is a deadly plane crash. As I say, more than 30 bodies pulled from the water. They know that as far as the Black Hawk, three crew members, as I say, they were inside there. The American Airlines plane on track to land at Reagan National Airport, carrying the 64 individuals, and then the U.S. Army Black Hawk chopper traveling south with at least three soldiers that we know of colliding last night and then crashing into the Potomac. The latest that we have is that the Black Hawk chopper was found. It was upside down. They could see that it was upside down, but in pieces. And so they have, like I say, divers. They have all different levels of law enforcement, local law enforcement, and many first responders rushing to the scene there, just trying to hopefully find somebody alive. We're also learning who was on board the commercial plane. And now we're hearing confirmation that, in fact, this was a situation where these were ice skaters who had just come back from a regional conference. So some of them married, some of those individuals, you know, athletes, obviously, and even some we're hearing were from Russia, Russian world figure skating champions. And this was Evgenia Shishkova and Vadim Naumov. So their names are being put out there as far as these individuals who were on this plane from Russian media. So it's as we learn the identity of these individuals who were on board, the U.S. figure skating community is putting out their prayers are with all of the family, how devastating this is. So we had athletes, we had coaches and family members returning home from the National Development Camp held in conjunction with the U.S. Figure Skating Championship that was being held in Wichita, Kansas.
Well, I tell you, between the terror attacks, between the weather, the deep freeze, this commercial disaster, five different things floating around the air, the quad-demic. I'm ready for January to be over. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had a nasty flu.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, you did.
That was disgusting.
We all did.
Yes.
Jeez, that was
let's get to February.
So I'm still coughing up. Let me tell you something. I'm still coughing up things that I'm going to list as dependents on my tax returns.
Well, thankfully, you have immunity with your antibodies.
They're beautiful. We did a great job. You know, I have T cells. I have white. We love white blood cells. They're great. The greatest blood cells. They're going to call me a white supremacist now, but I love white blood cells. And we love big, beautiful red blood cells, too. The MAGA blood cells. We love those bad boys. You know, they start off blue, and then they get, it's called oxygen, the oxygen bonds to hemoglobin. It's a great thing. And it turns the blood cells red, beautiful red. We flip them from blue to red. It's like Scott Pressler doing a great job. I could tell you that.
There you go.
You know who is speaking out this morning? Do you remember Sully, the pilot?
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Sullenberger.
Yes, yeah. Safely landed that passenger plane in the Hudson River. That was 2009.
Yeah.
In the crash, is talking about the crash.
Oh, so
in the Potomac.
That is the last time it happened. Was that one that was obviously a big Hollywood blockbuster?
I believe so.
Okay.
That was the last one, 2000. Because I was looking up, what was that 2009?
Yeah.
Is that Sully? And so remember in that one and that was obviously New York and the Hudson River,
mm-hmm.
but he's speaking out about that this morning. We'll have to talk about that moving forward, but Captain Sully, because remember they wanted to blame him, and then later didn't they determine that they were geese flying or birds, migratory birds or something?
Yeah. Bird strike.
A bird strike. So that's why I think, there's a lot of speculation. I get it, but we don't have all the answers, but he hasn't. You know, he's talking about this morning. So I just wanted to put that in your brains that maybe we can talk about that this morning.
Yeah, they drug him through the mud. I remember watching that movie. And honestly, I didn't follow the story specifically on a day in, day out basis. But I remember watching the movie. Obviously, I know some of it's Hollywood might be fictitious and not a true accurate portrayal. But between he and his co-pilot, who I think the actor is the guy who played Harvey Dent in the Batman movies that came out with Christian Bale. I mean, what a phenomenon. His family was, pulled through all the muck. His wife was stressed out. Sully, at least in the movie, boy, he looked like he was, his stress levels were at an all-time high.
Yeah, locally here, just a little bit of news for Philadelphia. We're expecting to get the state of education news today in Philadelphia. And so we will watch for that one. What is the city? Where are we as far as post-pandemic? We've talked a lot about Philadelphia schools in particular and the state of education or lack thereof. So the report card, if you will, on education in Philadelphia, we look forward to reporting on that one.
You want to give predictions now? I'll say not good. That'll be my guess.
Hopefully we see some slight improvement. I don't know. God forbid it's worse.
Yeah. School choice, anybody? I believe that's going through in Tennessee, down in your neck of the woods now, Farish.
Hope to God.
I was reading about that yesterday.
There has been a huge push for that over the last couple of years here in Tennessee. Education savings account, school choice.
Yep.
We think it's getting through this year. So would just be great, and would be one of the first states in the country to really embrace it the way we're going to do it, we'll see how it impacts the rest of the country. Trump signed an EO, embracing school choice too, so it's a good step in the right direction.
Once again, red states leading the way.
I know.
Uh-huh. Yep.
By the way, there are reports this morning because we heard a lot about the freeze and we had a lot of calls about that, and so the word from state officials, federal computer systems that were down here in Pennsylvania, and I imagine across the country, they have been fully restored. President Donald J. Trump, his administration yesterday, rescinding that memo ordering the pause, the freeze of trillions of dollars in federal disbursements that did cause a lot of controversy, and that was across the nation and in Pennsylvania as well, a lot of questions, as officials said that they were scrambling to decipher which government programs were at risk, and then groups mount all these different legal challenges. We talked about all of it. But Governor Josh Shapiro did hold a news conference. I know we'll get to it, saying that access to those payment systems for Medicaid, workforce development database, Career Link, preschool provider Head Start were all restored. They said the computer systems were down. And remember that Caroline Leavitt in that news conference had said those such programs in fact, we're never at risk at all, but there's a back and forth, and so we'll get through it. Did the computer system go down simply because so many people were going on and crashing the system,
mm-hmm.
because they were asking so many questions? So I just wanted to put that in your brain as well. That's the update, that everything is back. But Shapiro alleging that this was not a technical glitch, that there was more to it, and that it was, quote, purposeful in trying to wreak havoc on our communities and stop these federal dollars from flowing to our states. So that's the allegation from Governor Josh Shapiro here in Pennsylvania.
Yep, it's the same playbook from the first term from the left. Everything about the Trump administration is chaotic. It's chaos. When did getting results and delivering on promises all of a sudden turn into anarchy? They're doing the same thing again. It's this self-created chaos that really doesn't exist or is no different than any other administration. But because it's the Trump administration, it's, there's 9,000 people running around with like chickens with their head cut off and they don't know what they're doing. It's all manufactured.
Yeah, this is nonsense. They had no problem when the Biden administration displayed gross incompetence, but,
no issue when Lloyd Austin's nowhere to be found.
Disappeared. I understand he was getting cancer treatment, and I'm not shaming him for getting cancer treatment, and I hope he beats cancer.
Yeah.
Like, let me be clear.
Yeah.
But tell somebody.
Right.
Like, please.
Then we
you can't just.
We got mail on mail sexual acts in a Senate office room. We never get any further details about that. No. Cocaine in the cubby on the 4th of July at the White House. But you tell me about chaos. Lecture me on anarchy, please. Let me put my feet up. What you got?
Topless people dancing on the lawn. Jesus. The president of the United States is being led around by the Easter Bunny. Come on. Chaos.
Other news of the day with President Donald J. Trump ordering the deportation of foreign students who took part in those pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish protests on college campuses as he launches a wide-ranging crackdown on anti-Semitism in America. So I know we'll talk about that new executive order targeting those foreign students with visas who broke laws during demonstrations in the wake of the October 7th attacks in Israel.
Credit to you, Dawn. You said this. If that was going to happen, they should be removed from the country. We're going to call this the Dawn Stenslund executive order. You get credit for it.
She signed it.
You signed it.
Wrote it.
Yes.
Trump signed it. Look, it's common sense. It's common sense, right? That's what Trump is all about. And those lawbreakers are facing deportation due to, and Trump said, that due to, he called them terroristic threats, arson, vandalism, violence against American Jews. And so that really brings me to another, what would be really a lead-breaking story this morning as we are on day 482, big headline, and we were doing this every single day. We started this now as a banner here on Kale and Company, so that because it's one of the few places where you're hearing how many days have these hostages been held by terrorist kidnappers, 482 days, three more Israeli hostages, five Thai nationals who were kidnapped by Hamas terrorists have just been freed this morning following 482 days in captivity and the third hostage exchange under this Gaza ceasefire deal. 19-year-old Agam Berger, she has been released. 80-year-old Gadi Moses, as well as 29-year-old Arbel Yehud. Remember, Arbel was, she was expected. Remember, she was supposed to be released and then they didn't. And that really kind of paused and caused a lot of tension, among other things. Mm-hmm. But now she's been received by the International Committee of the Red Cross. And they've coordinated, obviously, with Hamas to secure the handover in the Gaza Strip.
I'm so glad you're highlighting this and saying the names, because the mainstream media is more concerned about Gaza losing their reproductive rights and their free condoms. I mean, that's a big, the mainstream media is more outraged over reproductive rights in the Middle East than American and Jewish citizen hostages being released after being in captivity for a year and a half.
And it's unfortunately not just limited to the mainstream media. Let me be clear about that. There are people who want to make their way into our side of the movement, and I don't want them here. Jake Shields and Andrew Tate and some of these people, I can't stand these people. Mm-hmm. They want to come out there and talk about and profess their love for Jesus Christ. That's totally cool. When you go ahead and side with the bad guys, though, over in Gaza, just like I say to the people who are the queers for Palestine, how about you go spread the gospel over there in Gaza? Tell me how they treat you. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to say the Jews are bad? I don't think the Israeli government is necessarily a government that I would sit there and place all of my trust in. They're very liberal. They had they're very, very closely, Netanyahu, their government, very, very closely linked in and tied into Big Pharma. They were bad with vaccine mandates. That's not who I support, the government of Israel. Right. But when you talk about the Jewish state, and the people who live there, who don't deserve to have to deal with rockets overhead every single day. And then you have a number of people, rabid psychopaths on social media, who are just looking for every and any excuse to hate Jewish people. And they want to sit there and profess that they're some sort of ally to MAGA. You're not an ally. You're a scumbag. I look at that and siding with the terrorists, right? Do we want peace in that region? I absolutely want peace in that region. But it's just, I can't for the life of me see how these folks in a rational mindset, you know, are coming to the conclusion that the people in Gaza, the terrorists, the Hamas, right, the folks that would very quickly behead any of these keyboard warriors, how they're the good guys and the Jews are the bad guys. I'm not saying all Jews are perfect, by the way. There are no religions and groups of people that have a 100% perfection rate. It just doesn't happen. It blows my mind.
Yep.
The level of hatred there is, yeah, not just for like the Israeli government and like their swamp, but for just like Jewish people.
Sure.
Like if you're a,
yeah,
Jew,
what is up with
they
that?
Hate you.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know.
October 7th, open the floodgate.
This is America, and these are American citizens.
Yep.
I have friends here, you know, we UPenn here and other campuses, but across the country, and you see this, and you're like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. These are American kids. You know, leave off the label of Jewish kids. They're, yeah, American kids versus foreign students on campuses who are our guests in our house who are perpetrating this. And this is like a no-brainer. Yeah, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You're booted.
That's the problem. You have these American hostages over there in Gaza, right? American hostages. I don't care what God they pray to.
No.
Who they believe their savior. They're Americans. Bring them home, yeah, right? But it's like, oh, well, you know, you're just saying that because Israel pays you. I said, if Israel pays me, I haven't gotten the check. I'm just going to say, where do I find these Jews that are paying everybody, apparently, because haven't found one yet.
Right. Which is also next level hypocrisy. There's no outrage to bring home these American citizens. Yet when Brittany Griner was on a Russian penal colony, it was they couldn't wait to get her home fast enough. They couldn't bring her back to safety quick enough. You can't have it both ways. You don't get to selectively pick and choose which American citizens are a priority. Just the way I view it.
It's true.
Amen. Other headlines, RFK Jr., obviously Trump signing the Laken Riley Act into law. Sixers beating the Kings 117-104, and Flyers losing to the Devils 5-0. As far as the forecast, 42 degrees, bright sunny skies today, some rain moving in, but back up almost 50 degrees for your Friday tomorrow. And then the weekend hovers around 42 degrees, sunny skies. I will point you to next week, where Monday we start out the week in the mid-50s with bright sunshine. So starting to get through the warm-up and the Arctic blast behind us from last week. Sponsored by Robert Half, 9 out of 10 hiring managers having difficulty hiring right now. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals. They're utilizing an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Just visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Thank you, Robert Half, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Cut sheet coming up in just over 20 minutes. When we come back, ICE raids with Philadelphia fear, and also Captain America walks it back in Hollywood. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking about the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. It is the brand's most popular SUV. Bold new design has plenty of cargo space, while its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any of life's adventures. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. You can visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. And coming up next week, I will tell you about the new Mercedes-Benz model that is wowing Delaware Valley residents. And that's with Piazza Premium Autos. But that's next week. The Hyundai Tucson today, 2025. Check it out online, PiazzaHyundai.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Caroline Levitt nailed it a few days ago at her first press secretary briefing, where she's saying under the previous administration, that might have been okay. under this administration, the new administration, no, you still broke a law. It is illegal. That's why you are called an illegal alien, an illegal immigrant. Whatever you want to coin the terminology is fine by me. I don't really care. I'm not offended by things like illegal alien. But the Inquirer, as Dawn mentioned in the news at 6 o'clock, has this story out, and the headline is ICE raids in Philadelphia instill fear in migrants. And I just want to read you this because it's, you know, it's just so remarkable the efforts that the Inquirer makes to, you know, pass along the feelings of people who have committed a crime and need to be held accountable for that. They write, every Sunday morning, Nelly Garcia slides into a pew at St. William Roman Catholic Church in the Northeast, meeting a close friend for the Spanish-speaking service. But this week, something was off. Her friend didn't show up. She decided it was too risky, since she is undocumented, that ICE agents could appear and deport her to Guatemala. Quote, she's already told me, if ICE gets me, you're in charge of sending me my things, said Garcia, 49. In the first 9 days of the Trump administration, reports of ICE activity have ricocheted across the Philadelphia region. On Tuesday, ICE raided a North Philadelphia car wash. We talked about that. And then yesterday, the Inquirer writes, on Wednesday, rumors of an impending ICE raid unsettled Philadelphia's famous Italian market, closing businesses and leaving stalls vacant. For Jesus Mazo, who has worked at the market for decades, the sense of emptiness sprang from weeks of talk that, quote, they are coming, as in ICE, Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, and those great agents out there. You know, it's remarkable to me, and Sean, I know you love this topic as much as I do. I'll start with you with the bad hombres. You love talking about Tom Homan and ICE. I see the tweets. I hear these arguments of, well, you didn't harm anybody. Well, that would be like me saying, I didn't harm anybody. I just broke into Sephora and stole $500 worth of goods for my daughter. I'm still a shoplifter. I've still committed a crime. I've committed an illegal act. Spare me the, I'm one of the good ones. No, you're still under the general umbrella of being here illegally. It's not a viable defense. They're the last to deal with. Obviously, we want the rapists, the child molesters, the sexual assaults, the murderers, the cartels, the drug dealers. We want those first and foremost. As Homan has said 47,000 times, we're going to start with the worst ones first, the most dangerous ones to public safety. But spare me your feelings. Then don't commit the crime.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do break into Sephora and you steal something, you are indirectly harming somebody because, you know, it is the profits of whatever you're stealing that are no longer going to be made that pay other people's salaries. And, you know, you could say, well, the CEO of Sephora makes enough. Well, fine. That's your opinion. But you're still not allowed to steal things. Illegals who are coming in here who are, quote unquote, in search of a better life. That's totally fine. I encourage people who would like to pursue a better life to come into the country. But there are laws and there are ways to do it. And then there are ways not to do it. And if you enter illegally, well, that's fine. If you're saying they should stay because they're not harming anyone, then open the front door to your house, invite anybody in. And as long as they don't lay a finger on you, your wife, your family, your pets or anything, they're not harming you either. Right. Even though they're using your water and they're using your heat and they're eating your food and they're not providing any means of, you know, restitution for you or trying to help. You know, soften the blow of them leaning on you and taking your resources. And then, sure, you know, invite them into your house. Selena Gomez was just on Instagram bawling her eyes out about how her people were being attacked, but she's got a gate at the front of her home to keep unwanted visitors out. Interesting how that gate isn't open, right? She felt so strongly about her message that she deleted the video. I don't know anybody who has deleted videos on our side of the equation who got backlash. I got backlash over saying COVID vaccines don't work and masks don't work and CRT need to be removed from schools. And, you know, I've been outspoken about who shouldn't use women's restrooms and what the 2020 election was like. I think it was stolen and there were a lot of irregularities that still haven't been investigated. People called me all sorts of names, but the post stayed up. You know why? Because I believe in what I'm saying. Clearly, Selena Gomez does not believe in what she was saying. If she did, she would have left it up there. But I love the fact that we're finally getting an administration. That's what Caroline Levitt said, that believes that every single person who has entered this country illegally is a criminal. That's different than folks who have maybe overstayed their visa and are now in the country illegally. That is a civil punishment, a civil violation. But folks who knowingly crossed the border and did not go through a port of entry and did not follow the process, mm-hmm. those folks are illegal. Yep. So for folks who say, well, how many of them have criminal records? The answer, the truthful answer, the only answer is all of them.
Yeah.
Every last person who entered this country illegally is a criminal under our immigration law. They broke the law, period, end of story. Now, of course, we're going to triage it. You know, if you're dealing with, and I hate to say it, but like a mass casualty event where you have a bunch of people who need medical attention, you're going to give the resources to the folks who have the serious injuries first versus the ones who have cut, scratches and bruises and or have all their wits about them.
Sure.
So by all means, go after the violent criminals and the folks who are committing those violent crimes and are menaces in society. But after that's done, you go after anybody who is in this country illegally. You do not belong here. You have no legal right to stay. You must leave and follow the law if yep. you want to come back. It's that simple.
We have major breaking news. This is the first live news conference from the new Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy. The efforts that were rescue efforts in the Potomac after this tragic plane crash, we've just learned, have now been declared as a recovery mission, meaning they do not believe that any of those 64 individuals' lives on the commercial airliner or the three on the Black Hawk military chopper, they do not believe anyone has survived this horrifying
do
crash.
Do you want to go to Duffy
yes,
and
we
hear
should go to him.
Jimmy
this
Kelly? Can we pot up Sean Duffy, the new Secretary of Transportation? If we can, let's get that on the board, fade him up. Obviously, he has taken over for Mayor Pete in the new administration. Yes. Jimmy, just give me a thumbs up when you have that.
And we know that in the waters of the Potomac, 36 degrees, you think about this happened last night and overnight, more than 300 brave first responders have been, and divers in this water have been frantically, yes. professionally trying to save, hoping and keeping hope alive that somebody could be pulled from the water alive. At this point, they say that there's yep. just not that chance. More than 30 bodies have been pulled from the frigid waters.
All right, we have it. Fade it up, Jimbo.
His administration, the FAA, the DOT, we will not rest until we have answers for the families and for the flying public. You should be assured that when you fly, you're safe. Thank you. Here. Take yours.
Thank you're you, listening Secretary. Live. This Thank is a you, Mayor. News conference that's live that was from Washington.
With Fire Chief Bonnet from the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. And I'm John
first.
Donnelly, Chief of the District of Columbia Fire and EMS Department. Last night at 8:48, the control tower sounded an alert, which alerts responders to respond to a report of an aircraft crash on or near the airport. That sets off an immediate response from the Airport Authority Fire Department, from the District of Columbia and Metropolitan Harbor Patrol fireboats and other fireboats on the river in order to support that type of operation. Very quickly, this call escalated. It became apparent, you know, the responders realized that they had a plane crash and immediately escalated to a response that ultimately included about 300 people last night. These responders found extremely frigid conditions. They found heavy wind. They found ice on the water, and they operated all night in those conditions. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the agencies that responded in addition to DC Fire and EMS and the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, Montgomery County Fire Department, the Prince George's County Fire Department, the Charles County Fire Department, the Baltimore County Police Department, the Anne Arundel County Fire Department, the Alexandria Fire Department, the Arlington County Fire Department, the Fairfax Fire Department, the Prince William Fire Department, the Baltimore City Police Department, the Maryland State Police, the Maryland Natural Resources Police, the Department of Defense, the Joint Base in Bowling Fire Department, and the staff there, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Coast Guard, the United States Park Police, the Metropolitan Police Department, the FBI, and the NTSB. Despite all those efforts, we are now at a point where we are switching from a rescue operation to a recovery operation. At this point, we don't believe there are any survivors from this accident. and we have recovered 27 people from the plane and one from the helicopter. The District Office of the Medical Examiner has lead on reuniting these bodies and these people with their loved ones, and we will continue to work to find all the bodies and collect them and reunite them with their loved ones. We should also acknowledge that the Virginia Medical Examiner and the Army Medical Examiner are involved in this operation and a very important part of getting the people identified. So, who's next?
Our hearts are certainly with all of the crew in American Airlines, and we'll hear from CEO Isom.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. I'm Robert Isom, the CEO of American Airlines. I want to express my sincere condolences for the accident that happened at DCA last night. We're absolutely heartbroken for the family and loved ones of the passengers and crew members, and also for those that were on the military aircraft. Our focus right now is doing everything that we can to support all of those involved and also the PSA Airlines team. This is devastating. We are all hurting incredibly. We urge any family and friends looking for information about their loved ones to call our designated helpline, and that's at 1-800-679-8215, 1-800-679-8215. And here's what I can share at this early stage. American Eagle Flight 5342, operated by PSA Airlines, traveling from Wichita, Kansas to Reagan National Airport, was involved in an accident just before 9 p.m. local time on final approach into Reagan National. They collided with a military aircraft on an otherwise normal approach. And at this time, we don't know why the military aircraft came into the path of the PSA aircraft. Flight 5342, a CRJ-700, was under the command of four crew members. They carried 60 passengers, as you know, for a total of 64 people on board. In addition to local resources already here in D.C., American Airlines has activated our CARE team, and that's a group of specialists that are trained to support these types of responses. These team members are on-site or arriving soon. And additionally, we have members of our GO team that are on ground here in D.C., and they're being deployed with resources to do everything that we can to take care of the needs of the families and the loved ones of the passengers and crew members. And that is our sole focus. And we're so grateful for the first responders. They've been working through the night with courageous efforts. And we're actively working with local, state, and federal authorities on emergency response efforts and closely coordinating with PSA Airlines as they cooperate fully with the NTSB on the investigation. I know that there are many questions. And at this early stage, I just won't be able to answer many, but we'll provide additional information as it comes. Thank you.
All right, let's get out of this, Jimmy Kelly. Thank you very much. You heard from Sean Duffy. You heard from one of the supervisors amongst first responders.
And Chief Donnelly.
Chief Donnelly, and then the CEO there of American
Robert
Airlines.
And D.C. Mayor, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C. as well. So the breaking news this morning, and this is impacting airports here along the East Coast, including Philadelphia, as flights continue to be diverted from Reagan National to airports like Philadelphia until 11 o'clock today. But the tragic news just gets worse. President Trump just putting out on social media, God bless you all. This has been a terrible night because we've just learned that they have now changed the name of this mission. It's no longer a rescue mission. It's a recovery mission. They've given up hope that anyone survived this crash. But for these crews, more than 300 first responders, they will continue to dive into these chilly waters to work on this very windy, choppy, really a dangerous scene as they try to recover now these bodies from the Potomac. And we learned that at least 27 bodies have been pulled from the commercial airliner, one from that military chopper. We don't know what happened, but my goodness, I mean, you think about Sean Duffy, who was just sworn in late on Tuesday, talk about baptism by fire in a brand new job as he's the newly sworn in U.S. Transportation Secretary. Sean Duffy, you know, now he's been actively monitoring, and I know on social media, and he was giving out reports monitoring the tragic plane crash here, but this was his first news conference as they're just trying to give us some information.
Yep.
We hate to report this to you this morning, and our prayers are with these families as well as these hundreds of first responders.
Tragic. 855-839-1210. If we get more updates, we will certainly go to Dawn as the show moves along, but we'll move along and get to what everybody is waiting for and everybody loves. It's time for a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet, and it comes your way next here on Kale and Company.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What is the mayor who was completely outclassed and overmatched about a month ago after the tragedy of the terror attack in New Orleans? We'll get to some of the stories that are being circulated about what they are planning to do to prevent another possible terrorist event in the New Orleans area. That's coming up shortly. But 7:54, Jimmy Kelly, let's get to a Thursday edition of What is on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
And What's on the Cut Sheet for this Thursday is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professional, utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent. What a horrible read that was.
That was. And Jimmy Kelly only could see half of the copy.
I could only see half of it.
In honor of Robert Half.
It's time to get a put it in Jimmy Kelly font size when he's running the board.
Yeah, Arial font 72. Do you prefer Times New Roman?
I prefer Times New Roman. I prefer to go up to 1,000 next time.
My advice is take a picture of it and then scooch it out bigger.
That may not be such a bad idea.
Yeah, I love you.
At least you didn't say end quote or repeat the line like Joe Biden.
Oh, hey. God. All I can say is that
we needed a laugh, Jimmy. So thank you.
Yes.
All I can say is that the spot got in. Salespeople are happy.
Thank
That's
you,
all
Robert
I care.
Yeah.
It's all yours, Nick.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sure Stocker will be sending a text. Why don't you just handle that read next time, Chief? Yeah. Hey, let's get it going. I want to start. I mean, we've talked a lot about Bobby, and we've talked a lot about illegal immigration. So those are the top two stories, obviously, of the day outside of what's going on down in Arlington with the tragedy. Let's start with something a little bit more in the social cultural world, and then we'll round back to the big stories. Let me start with what I thought was the end of lawfare in this country. One of the most just angry, bitter, politically motivated prosecutors. We're talking about State Attorney General Letitia James, Phil Omquist. This is clip 4. Obviously, one of the big stories is the Trump administration with the freezing of federal funding and then the pausing and the reversing, you know, the whole bit that we've talked about for the last couple of days. Apparently, the lawfare might not be over. Clip 4, here's Letitia James back in the lawsuit business against DJT. Let's play this.
Not only does this administration's new policy put people at risk, but it is plainly unconstitutional. The president does not get to decide which laws to enforce and for whom. When Congress dedicates funding for a program, the president cannot pull that funding on a whim. Later today, I am leading and joining with my colleagues, my fellow Democratic attorney generals, in suing this administration to stop this illegal freeze of essential funds for our state. We will not stand for any illegal policy that puts essential services for millions of Americans at risk. And we work tirelessly overnight to ensure that does not happen. Our lawsuit will seek a court order to immediately stop the enforcement of the OMB policy and to preserve essential funding for Americans.
You know what's remarkable about this is after Trump's victory, lawsuits go away, charges dropped, resignations from Christopher Wray in the FBI to Merrick Garland to Jack Smith to Fannie Willis to Alvin Bragg. I thought all the third world banana republic lawfare was over, but apparently Letitia James wants to be the last one standing in the ridiculous lawfare that Trump, by and large, defeated over the last 2 years. This is such a S stain on our country that we still have somebody like Letitia James trying to make this a litigious battle over what Trump is doing in the highest office. And I'm not saying Trump's above the law in certain capacities, whether he has the power to do X, Y, or Z. I try to be fair on that. Biden didn't have the ability to, you know, the student loan bailouts, and then he rejects what SCOTUS is saying. So there's a legal element to this. But this woman just will not go away. And to me, it's nothing more than political brownie points, right? Is that what's in play here, Sean, in your former state?
Yeah, it's all political brownie points. It's all posturing. It's all, look at me. I'm the resistance. That's all it is. And here's the thing. I don't think that's popular anymore.
No.
You know, it was popular in 2016. He was, you know, we had Russia, Russia, Russia. There was no, you know, his approval rating is above water significantly right now. People want to see Donald Trump succeed. He's got a legitimate honeymoon phase, and there are still folks like CNN, Letitia James, and folks like that around the country who are attempting to be this resistance because it worked for them the last time and they built a career on it. You know, Letitia James ran on getting Trump, right?
Yeah.
So she thinks, you know, well, let me just go back to the well again. It worked for me once. It'll work for me again. It may not work for her this time. I don't know if it's going to, you know, backfire on her to the point where she's going to lose her job or potentially, New York State's going to flip. Maybe not yet, but it's definitely not going to work in her favor.
All right, let's go. I want to go to a couple of other categories that I feel like we've kind of neglected a little bit in the last couple of days. That is some of the DEI stuff that is out there, or that is going away, I should say, as well as the return to work mandates in the office, in the federal government, at the request of Donald J. Trump. Let's start with clip 11. Michael Strahan, I believe from ABC's Good Morning America, former New York Giant. You see him on the Sunday NFL Fox show. Love the way he played back in the day. Doesn't really know much about politics. And Caroline Leavitt schools him on the Trump return to work policy and mandate. Clip 11, Phil, let this rip.
But is there any concern that we risk losing people with years of experience like doctors and let's say scientists?
Well, most doctors who work in actual hospitals and medical institutions have to show up to the office. We know that employees are more productive and more efficient when they are working in an in-office environment. And that's what this administration expects. And I think that's what American taxpayers expect. Don't forget, it's the American people who are funding this government, and they deserve people who are actually showing up to work on their behalf.
You know, what's amazing, Dawn, is we've seen Caroline Leavitt now for all of about 3 days, and she is super impressive. She's way over Michael Strahan's head. I mean, doctors returning to work, and I get it. There's telehealth, and you can have a doctor on demand via Zoom, but I'm guessing 99% of practitioners need to physically be in the office to begin with to diagnose you. Just a guess. What a terrible question from Michael Strahan.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It's bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. And when she announced that only 6% of the workforce in D.C., the federal workforce, I actually thought I heard it wrong. And I went back twice just because you're like, nah, that can't. 6%.
6%.
6% of those people are in person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. 94%. I mean, not for nothing, but, you know, there are, like, we talk about your wife, Kristen, who is, and I know people, you know people in the private sector and the public sector who are highly efficient, and the decision has been made that they can work from home and actually frees up office space for some people, you know what I mean, for some businesses. So it works. I think for some companies, but to have 94% of your workforce in a big city, DC at the Capitol, 94% are literally phoning it in from home. Come on.
Yeah. John Farish, it's amazing. Like, I understand if all of these federal buildings are empty, it's outrageous that our tax dollars are going towards the leasing of property that's not being utilized or occupied. Okay. If that's the case and you want to stay at home, then get rid of these buildings. Don't re-sign the lease, whatever. But if they're going to continue to stay as tenants, I want federal government officials that are collecting paychecks from my taxes. Get your ass to work. I understand some people are efficient at home. I understand, at Odyssey, our sales reps, they're not supposed to be here except for one day a week for a sales meeting. They need to be out in front of, Bob's Fencing trying to sell spots. Like, you should not be seen. That means you're probably doing a good job. But some of these people that got comfortable with COVID, that have abused the system, these are the people that I want outed and forced to return to work or quit and do a different job.
Absolutely. And I think Donald Trump is now demanding that the folks who have been staying at home have not been working another job while they're working a government job, because that's against the law. You need to go to work if you work for the federal government, period, end of story. The federal government, like you said, doesn't have salespeople, right? You know what I mean? It's a little different, right? They are supposed to be providing a service for the country. They're doing it on the taxpayer dollar. They need to show up to work. They need to be supervised, and it needs to be, known and documented that work is being done, because we honestly don't know what's going on in their homes. And the last thing I want, by the way, is the government to start installing, surveillance in people's houses to make sure that they're working, right? Yeah. Because we know where that eventually winds up. So why don't we just go back to the office the way it used to be, work your 8 hours, okay, and go back home, and that's it, all right? Or if that doesn't suit you, fine. There are, thanks to COVID and the, you can call it innovation, the evolution of the workplace. Thanks to COVID, there are other remote jobs available. Are they going to have the same health benefits and the same pay and some of the same perks? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. If you want to hold on to those, show up to work. If you want to work from home, work from home. But if you work for the government and, who also knows, right? What if you're in an important institution that's handling people's personal information? Is it secure? Are you subject to having people's information stolen because you're doing it on an open Wi-Fi network? I mean, these are things we don't know. And I don't know if several of these instances have happened or have not, but the potential exists. Go to the office and go to work. I think it's far from being unreasonable. And if you don't like it, find a new job.
That's right. And the clock is ticking on for these individuals to make this decision. Phil, let's go to clip 19. Here is Donald Trump saying that federal employees who don't show up to work in person by February 6th will, in fact, be terminated. Clip 19.
As everyone knows, most of the time they're not working. They're not very productive. And it's unfair to the millions of people in the United States who are, in fact, working hard from job sites and not from their home. As federal employees, they must meet a high standard. They're representing our government. They're representing our country. If they don't agree by February 6th to show up back to work in their office, they will be terminated, and we will therefore be downscaling our government, which is something that the last 10 presidents have tried very hard to do, but failed.
Yeah, and you know what? You're getting a pretty good severance package, too. You're going to have pay for the next handful of months. I think we talked about this yesterday. Your benefits will still be good through, I think, August or September. So it's not like you're in dire straits. If you have skills and your services are in demand on the open marketplace, you should probably find employment relatively quickly. If you've been fiscally responsible, you should be able to pay your mortgage or your groceries or your utilities for a couple of months and get by, unless you're not financially responsible. And really, what I love about this, too, is he's talking about these people that are not doing their jobs from home to the degree that they would if they were under supervisor surveillance, at the workplace. I remember when I was out of radio and I was selling retirements. I was selling 401ks. I had my Series 6 and 63 license. Man, my supervisor was up and down our cubicle aisles every 15, 20 minutes. You couldn't be looking at Facebook on your phone. You couldn't be on, now this was years ago, you couldn't be on eBay browsing, you know, whatever. And you know these people that are working from home, they're doing all sorts of things. They run upstairs, they flip the laundry around, they put a load of dishes in, they make dinner early. You know, that's great. I get it. No disrespect to homemakers. If you can, you know, pull that off a little bit. But that's on publicly funded jobs, I have an issue with it. If you're abusing the system with a private corporate employer, none of my business. Federal tax dollars. Now it's our business, right? That's the way I view it.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
All right. Let's go to the military. You know, we're all bobbied up, right? We're all focused on Tulsi Gabbard today and tomorrow. Let's go back to Pete Hegseth, because Pete's in, and Pete can say what he wants now. Pete can do what he wants, and the task is very simple. Make the American military great again. The best of the best on the front lines of battle. This is clip 12, Phil. Pete Hegseth talking about ripping out every tentacle of DEI. Listen and watch this.
Accountable to their senior leaders, DEI does not do that. Not only does it not do it, it undermines it. So everyone's going to be treated equally based on merit, and we're making sure across the Army and the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Space Force, that's happening. There's no hedging here, Will. We're not joking around. There's no changing of names or softly manipulating something. DEI is gone. We're ripping it out root and branch, and we're getting back to the basics with high standards. And guess what? The force is responding, because that's what they want. They want to be warfighters.
You know what I love about this? If you just go past the military for a second, I know, Sean, you're into sports. Dawn, you have boys. Your boys play football. If you're an athlete and it's a team environment, right? It's camaraderie. It's having trust, developing chemistry with your brothers or sisters in football, whether it's the military, whether it's in the corporate world. You want to know that the person that you are, quote, doing battle with, and I put that in air quotes next to you, they have your back, they're talented, and they have the same mission statement and the same end goal. I would never want to be in any of these meritocracy-based positions where I know meritocracy has been minimized for the sake of everybody else feeling like they could be a part of the club, especially if my life is on the line. And I know maybe football is not the best analogy, but there is some semblance of, you know, that tough military training that you get in football. It's 11 on 11. You want to look to your left and to your right and say, you know, you're in the trenches with your boys. They've got your back, and they're qualified to do that because we all have the same vision. I'm so glad that Pete Hegseth got through, because I don't think we're going to see any shortages with recruitment goals. Do you?
No, and I think that's part of it. We've seen, except with the Marines, except with the United States Marines.
Yeah,
it's just not cool to go into the military unless it is the Marines. That's the problem with all of this. As far as football, actually, David's high school football team, they do have a kicker who is female.
My old high school did as well, 2011.
She is. I mean,
she was
like,
good too.
She's like 6 feet tall. She's an underclassman. Her parents are both, you know, were both like through college. Like, her mom set actually state records in Pennsylvania. I could go on. So they love her.
Yes.
They absolutely love her. And she was hesitant to go in the locker room. And they were saying, no, come in the locker room. And they, you know, it was really nice. And so that's
she
just
was
it.
Probably hot.
No, but kidding. That's not, I mean, no, they look at her like a sister, like a little sister. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And that's just the point, that when somebody is good. First of all, not many girls want to play football above, you know, I don't know, seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think when somebody's good and they're part of the team, the kids are great about it, and they figure it out. Nobody said you have to all change in front, or like nothing weird like that, because that is so awkward.
Yeah.
So they just were respectful.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, I think the kids, just watching what happened with my son's high school, they were more mature and handled that whole situation with a female on their team.
Yeah.
They handled it better than any government entity, any school board that I actually saw.
Yeah.
You know?
Sean, Phil, you guys are all football fans, and we all hate kickers because they have one job and all they do is miss. I'll tell you right now, again, just to reiterate my point on meritocracy, if it's a high school, a college, or an NFL team, if the best kicker is a female, I want her in there. I want my extra points and field goals to be almost mathematical certainties, gender be damned.
Right. I mean, if Adam Vinatieri was Anna Vinatieri and was as successful as Adam Vinatieri, it's fine. I mean, merit should be rewarded first. and foremost. I don't care what you are, who you pray to, how tall you are, how short you are. You know, I don't care about any of those material things. I care about results. Can you deliver results? And I think Dawn's point, you know, about the high school football team, those kids want to win. They want to win. And anybody who gives them a better chance of winning at the end of the game, they're going to welcome because they want to win. Same goes for our military. Our military has not necessarily won a lot in the last couple of years, right? You saw the Afghanistan situation, bunch of engagements that we've been involved with over the last couple of decades. We haven't really looked too sharp. You know, DEI, which creates nothing but a race to the bottom. It's going to create a lazy and less effective fighting force. And Pete Hegseth doesn't want to see that. He wants to be the head coach of the football team that puts the team in the best position to win. That's by filling those positions with the best and most qualified people. It's really that simple. If you focus and you incentivize being the best, more people will care about being the best. There'll be a competition to see who is the best, and the best will rise to the top and fill those positions. That's why Shohei Ohtani is a great baseball player, right? It's why I want to watch my favorite baseball team sign the best free agents every single year, because in my opinion, that gives us the best chance of winning that following season. So if we just focus on being the best, I think we'll solve a lot of our problems. And that's why I'm excited that Hegseth got confirmed.
I agree. All right, let's get back to the big story of the day, as yesterday was Bobby Kennedy on the Hill being grilled for his Senate confirmation hearing. Let's get to clip 15 as RFK Jr. and Liz Warren, a.k.a. Pocahontas, had a head-on collision. Clip 15, Phil, let it roll.
So, Mr. Kennedy, will you also agree that you won't take any compensation from any lawsuits against drug companies while you are secretary and for 4 years afterwards?
Well, I'll certainly commit to that while I'm secretary. But I do want to clarify something because you're making me sound like a shill. I put
you're
together that case. I did the Science Day presentation to the judge on that case to get it into court.
Mr.
The
Daubert Kennedy,
hearing.
Mr. Kennedy, it's just a really simple question.
Yeah,
you've taken in $2.5 million. I want to know if you will commit right now that not only will you not go to work for drug companies, you won't go to work suing the drug companies and taking your rake out of that while you're a secretary and for 4 years after. It's just
I'll commit to not take any fees from drug companies while I'm secretary.
No, I'm asking about fees from suing drug companies. Will you agree not to do that?
You're asking me to not sue drug companies.
No,
and I'm not going to agree to that,
Senator.
Sue
drug companies as much as you want.
I'm not going to agree to not sue drug companies or anybody.
Worth noting that Liz Warren, as I reiterate again from the big take this morning, Liz Warren has made $5.2 million from pharmaceutical companies since 2020 alone. That's on top of whatever her annual salary is, $170,000, $180,000 per year. Now, I don't want Bobby Kennedy lining his pockets from lawsuits, so I don't necessarily hate the question, but who the question is coming from is
right.
Quite rich, right?
Yeah, I think it is incredibly rich, and she seems to be trying to one up herself with the silly questions. You know, the like you said, I don't really hate the question per se. I just think the person asking it is as hypocritical as it gets, right? It's like the pot calling the kettle black. You know, I don't necessarily love the cliche, but that's exactly what's going on there. I loved the same type of question that Pete Hegseth. Will you confirm as a general that you're not going to join the military or defense contract? He says, I'm not a general, right? I mean, she asked essentially the same question to RFK, and he said, I don't know if you've heard the rest of this hearing. I'm not too sure those guys want me around.
Right.
You know what I mean? So silly question, not necessarily a silly concept, But a silly question considering who asked it.
And she got laughed at for the Hegseth question. Remember that.
She did.
All of her colleagues was just they were just rolling. She's had an axe to grind with both of these guys, with Hegseth and
She's had a tomahawk to grind, but
And when she starts shouting and she gets that head moving and she's bobbing, is that not the peak definition of like a raging the raging Karen? Like that everybody mocks on social media?
Or maybe it's a rain dance. I don't know.
It's a rain dance. I like that one.
Yeah.
All right. Right. Let's continue with Bobby, because we know he's a Kennedy and the Democrat family dynasty. He's always been the redheaded stepchild of the bunch. But then in Phoenix, Arizona, he joined Donald Trump. He came out to the There Goes My Hero song. I forget who the hell sings that, but they tried to sue him. He had no right to use it.
The Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a bad job.
You forgot about it.
And I just listened to it yesterday, too. I actually rewatched that whole video. Remember the pyrotechnics going off?
Yeah.
And Trump was like, wow, that's a reaction. Look at this ovation for Bobby, right? Yeah. So he thinks a lot of this is motivated by the fact that he's a Democrat, and now he's joined a Republican administration. Clip 14, Phil.
From Congress, and will you make HHS transparent?
Yeah, my approach to HHS, as I said before, Senator, is radical transparency. Democrats and Republicans ought to be able to come in and get information that was generated at taxpayer expense, that is owned by the American taxpayer. They shouldn't get redacted documents. Public health agencies should be transparent. And if we want Americans to restore trust in the public health agencies, we need transparency. I want to say something about what you first said. When I launched my campaign, it was about uniting Americans, Democrats and Republicans. There's no issue that should unite us more than this chronic health epidemic. There's no such thing as Republican children or Democratic children. These are our kids. 66% of them are damaged. I know what a healthy kid looks like because I had so many of them in my family. I didn't know anybody with a food allergy growing up, peanut allergy. Why do 5 of my kids have allergies? Why are we seeing these explosions in diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, neurological diseases, depression, all of these things that are related to toxic in the environment? Why can't we just agree with each other to put differences about so many issues, intractable issues aside, and say, we're going to end this? I don't think anybody is going to be able to do this like I have because of my peculiar experience, because I've litigated against these agencies. When you litigate against them, you get a PhD in corporate capture and how to unravel it. I've written 6 books about these agencies. I know a lot about them, and I know how to fix it. And there's nobody who will fix it the way that I do, because I'm not scared of vested interests. I don't care. I'm not here because I want a position or a job. I have a very good life and a happy family. This is something I don't need. I want to do this because we're going to fix it. And the other thing is we are attracting now a caliber of people to HHS like never before in history. And they're entrepreneurs, they're disruptors, they're innovators of immense talent that are walking away, many of them, from growing concerns. They're not coming there for position. They're coming there because they want to save our country. And they're from across the political spectrum. And all these Democrats are opposed to me for partisan issues. They used to be my friends. Agreed with me on all the environmental issues that I've been working on for my whole career. Now they're against me because anything that President Trump does, any decision he makes, has to be lampooned, derided, discredited, marginalized, vilified.
We need to move on.
It is remarkable that somebody could actually be anti-Trump everything just because it's Trump. All of a sudden, you're out on Bobby because he's a part of the Trump administration. And whether it's the military-industrial complex, big pharma, big food, the success that you can have against them, I have no idea what degree of success Bobby Kennedy will have. A lot of bureaucracy, a lot of power, lobbyist groups, money, powerful people. But I give him credit because I don't think he's wrong there when he says I don't need this BS. I don't need this grief and this stress. I've got a lot of money. I've got a good life. I'm 70 years old, but I'm passionate about it. And I give him credit for at least attempting to fight it while being smeared publicly for doing so, and at least being curious, at least questioning. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but if you fall in lockstep with everything that the major institutions in this country tell you and you just absorb it like a puppet and a sheep, that's on you. And you want to live that life, that's fine. But you don't have an ounce of curiosity. You just take everything that the government tells you as gospel. I think you're kind of foolish.
Yeah, it's so true.
All right.
I would say so. If you blindly follow anybody,
yeah,
not the, whether it's the government or anybody,
yeah,
you're foolish.
Yeah.
Right. You have to use your own eyes and ears. I'm like an eternal skeptic. You know, I grew up watching the show Ghost Hunters, right, which was one of the first really, I think, really good and successful paranormal activity type shows.
My wife used to watch
it. One of the points that those guys, that original team used to do, and I love this, and I wish more people would use this thought process, is when something happened, you know, there's the newer shows now where when something happens, they're like, we got a ghost. And it was like The Wind or something. On that show, the original Ghost Hunters, those guys, when something would happen, they used to try to disprove or recreate it in a way that would prove that it wasn't paranormal. So their first instinct was to say, no, this isn't a ghost. This isn't what our show is named after. This was something normal. Look, we recreated it. The thermal imaging, it was a mirror reflection. Something fell off. The window was open. The door moved because there was a draft, right? I mean, they would go through all of these different tests and put the experiences they were having through tests to prove that it wasn't a paranormal experience. And then if it failed all those tests, they would say, hey, this is something. We've gone in reverse now, where everybody has this confirmation bias, and it's all over the place, not just on one side or the other. Let's take a trip down memory lane and remember the drones, right, that we just found out were authorized by the FAA. No, that couldn't possibly be the explanation. It had to be China. It had to be an Iranian mothership. It had to be aliens. It had to be some sort of insane thing. When Caroline Leavitt just came out and said there was testing being done, which we talked about on this radio station, a testing corridor that was established by the FAA over New Jersey in June of 2023. There was a press release about it, right? She talked about how a lot of the, after it became a story, it was recreational drones, hobby drones. No, it can't possibly be that people are flying toys in the air when they're about $100 a pop, right? There's these confirmation. Look, we got to get back to Occam's razor, okay? Do you really believe a mask, a piece of fabric that if, look, here's my rule, right? You know how they say it doesn't pass the smell test?
Yeah.
If I can smell a fart through the mask, it's not stopping a virus. That's the test. That's the smell test. Eat some Taco Bell, put the mask on. Do you smell it? I do. It's not stopping the virus, okay?
Ew.
Period, end of story, right? That's it. As serious, that's it. Chris Christie, he could have told you from the very beginning that masks don't work.
Yeah.
All right, I'm very sure. The problem here is that we are rushing to the most sensational explanation every single time with regards to what it is. A hurricane came. It must be weather manipulated. It has to be. It can't just be that hurricanes happen.
Yep.
Water is wet. It's a psyop. It's actually dry. That's government water. It's never been wet before. It's cold in the winter. It has to be climate change. We're going to lose our planet in 10 years if we don't stop. And the coasts are going to be gone, despite the fact that Bill Gates keeps buying houses on the beach. Like, it's a, you know, we always rush to the most sensational explanation when really there's a very simple explanation out there that will explain away the problem, and there won't be an issue. You know, this guy who blew himself up in front of the hotel in Las Vegas was like, oh, somebody was after him, or he went nuts, wrote a crazy diatribe, and unfortunately it was suffering from a mental health illness and exploded himself outside of a hotel. I mean, it has to be gravitic propulsion equipment. Like, this is, we have to just slow down. Yeah. I get it. Clicks, they pay.
Yeah.
We get a lot of money off of engagement. But slow down and use the simplest answer. I'm not going to sit there and believe anybody blindly because they said something that sounds fun to run with. I want the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is usually simple. It really is.
Phil, let me know if we have this. I don't see it on the cut sheet that's printed, but I did send this last night as a follow-up. In regards to what Sean just said about putting on a mask and smelling a fart, I want to play this video if you can pull it. If we have it, text me, let me know. If we don't have it, just grab it. Because there's a woman that pled guilty in the United Kingdom in the first ever cyber farting case. We have to play this, and I can't believe... okay, so Phil will get it, and when we have it, let me know. This is hysterical. You got to see this. I can't believe we've reached this point in our legal system, but maybe the UK is overstepping their bounds, or maybe it's a joke that we haven't implemented this yet in the country, but we'll get to that coming up shortly. Let's get back to the border. And Phil, let's start with... I want to start with clip seven here. Secretary Kristi Noem, first of all, phenomenal in uniform. I'll reiterate that countless times. That ice jacket was tailor-made for her. Secretary Noem says Guantanamo Bay is already used for housing illegal immigrants, and that's where the worst of the worst are kept. Clip 7.
Madam Secretary, your department as well, we're going to be getting into this now, but you're tasked with this. This was for DOD and DHS, according to President Trump, to begin preparing Guantanamo Bay to house some 30,000 criminal illegal immigrants. What can you tell us about this program and your role at DHS?
Well, Guantanamo Bay is already being utilized in this manner. There is already facilities there that are housing illegal immigrants, and it's the worst of the worst that are kept there. Many times those who are sent there are gang members, people that have created terrorist activities in the United States of America and have been a real danger and threat to our people. So what we'll be doing is utilizing our resources to expand the capacity there and to make sure that as we continue to do what President Trump has talked about and deporting people who are here illegally and are making our streets much more dangerous, is that we're going to utilize Guantanamo Bay to a more expansive a purpose, and that we will be going and putting resources there to make sure we have the space to getting people out of this country right away that will make sure our country much more safe.
You know, what's amazing about this is the fear-mongering of, you know, rounding up people. And then, well, it's going to lead to a worker shortage in agriculture, despite only 1% of these people actually working in agriculture. It's going to cause the cost of living to go up. And I love Tom Homan's rebuttal every time they try to give you the economic fear porn. Well, what price tag, what dollar amount would you put on your safety and your security and your livelihood? And they have no response to that. So to me, if it costs me a little bit more initially, but it means potentially my daughter's life is now safe and secure, and she's, you know, mathematically out of harm's way. If there was somebody here in Philadelphia that could come to Bluebell and do something like that, I feel great. And there's, Nick Kale, is it 800,000? Is it 2%? Is it 12% more? I'm not putting a dollar on it. You can't guilt me into feeling like, oh, well, it's going to have a negative economic impact. And I just love the approach that Homan has taken. And I got to be honest, I don't care if it's Guantanamo Bay. I don't care if it's Pelican Bay. I don't care if it's Rikers Island. I don't care if it's a dumpster in the Pacific. I don't want people here illegally with the intent to harm individuals in this country. And if that's offensive to some people that are pro-immigration, I'm pro-immigration. And that's the thing I hate about this, Dawn, is they make it sound like America was built and founded on legal immigrants coming here and making America the robust nation it is. But you have to go about it the right way, right?
Right. And it's not fair to all of the individuals, about a million a year,
yeah,
who are sworn in as United States citizens. And it's an arduous process, but they stand in line. Mm-hmm. They do right about it. Do we have to, I guess, make it streamlined for those? Because some people, it takes years. I know a doctor, for example, he and his wife, he's an American citizen. His wife is from an Eastern European country. Mm-hmm. It sometimes will take years. So do we need to fix that and streamline the courts? Absolutely. And I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this whole notion that, well, we should just open the doors. And I would say to all of those people who are saying that, many of them, one percenters, if you will, Well, open your doors. I would say the same thing to the Pope. I've been to the Vatican. Has anybody been to the Vatican? Crooked Joe has been to the Vatican.
He left a gift at the Vatican, right?
That's Hootsie Roll.
They needed a sign. I put a sign up. It said, no dumping. Violators will be prosecuted.
Exactly right. And you know what the worst part of this is, Sean, is they only talk about the illegal immigrants as far as their fear and the fact that they can't go to church. Now, all of a sudden, the mainstream media cares about your ability to go to church. They didn't care about your ability to go to church during the pandemic.
That's right.
They didn't care if a Catholic church got raided by the feds or if you were at a pro-life abortion clinic or whatever the Mark Houck stories. They don't seem to care. But all of a sudden, when it's an illegal immigrant from a South American country, they care. But I don't hear them talking about illegals that are here from the Middle East, from Asia, perhaps from Italy, from Ireland. It's only the South American illegal immigrants that are having their rights violated and the fear porn. There's people from a bazillion countries that have come here since Joe Biden got into office in 2021. But they isolate it to South America because they want to paint you as being anti-South American and racist. That's what they're trying to do.
And you know what else they're doing, right? You know what else they're saying now, I find, which is the strangest talking point I think they could have come up with is, well, who's going to pick our food? And I'm like, whoa, okay, so let's go back to, like, I don't know, 1860. Kind of sounds a lot like when the slave owners were like, well, who's going to pick our cotton, right? No, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not understand how, like, very similar the talking points are? So you don't want to get rid of the illegal aliens because they pick your food. And oh, by the way, since they're illegal aliens, they don't have the same, you know, quote unquote rights under our labor laws that American citizens have. So you pay them lower, most likely, than minimum wage. These are the same people with the $15 an hour, right? With Bernie Sanders, now it's $20 an hour, right? Minimum wage. These are the same people who, you know, health care is a right, this, that, you know, but they don't want to pay illegal aliens who are picking avocados. They want to pay them a livable wage. They also don't want to pay an American a livable wage, right? Because then it makes the cost of their avocados go up.
Mm-hmm.
And as our favorite senator from Louisiana says, these are avocado toast eating high IQ stupid people, right? These are Senator John Kennedy, who is speaking about one quarter of that speed because, you know, it takes a long time. I love
that. Help me understand this. Funny.
Yeah, help me understand. President Biden was in charge of the Sahara Desert. He'd run out of sand. This is a group of people now who cried racism over and over and over and over and over again. And now their number one talking point about not deporting illegals is who's going to pick the food, who's going to work the fields, who's going to clean my house. So the only reason you want these people here is because they do the things you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't pay them a lot of money and you don't pay somebody the wage that they deserve to be making to do those things. It kind of sounds like you want slavery back.
Mm.
Kind of sounds like the way you acted before the Civil War, when the Southern Dixie Democrats, right, the pre-Civil War Democrats were like, but if we get rid of our slaves and free the slaves, our economy is going to collapse. It's the same argument that's being made right now.
Yeah.
Against mass deportations,
and
that is scary.
And by the way, let's also point out the blame, because there's a lot of blame to go around. It's those who come here illegally. It's those who permit it to happen in government, from Biden to Mayorkas on down the list. And oh, by the way, the employers that hire these individuals. I don't care if you own a landscaping company, a restaurant, whatever it might be, whatever profession, if you are knowingly hiring illegal immigrants, you are now employing a criminal. Let's also go after them and punish them. I don't know if it's a civil thing or a criminal thing, but there should be accountability for these businesses, whether it's a small business or a corporation that's skirting it around because they want really talented, hardworking people that will come at a cheap cost, despite the fact that their status is illegal, right? I mean, and my mother-in-law sent me a text a couple of days ago about this. She's like, so are you going to criticize Trump? Because you know back in the day, there was an absolute certainty that at his casinos or some of his buildings that he probably employed illegal aliens. And I'm like, yeah, in 2002, 1988, whatever year it might have been, if Trump had people working there illegally, knowingly, then I think that's a bad look for him. But you know what? It's 2025, and we didn't have, you know, 15 million people flood the border in 4 years. So I try to be consistent with it, but some of these employers that knowingly do it, like perhaps this car wash, right? We just had the raid in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, 7 arrests made. You don't think the people that owned that car wash knew that these people were illegal aliens? I mean, come on. You know that, especially if you're paying them under the table, which presumably you might have been. All right. That'll do it for round one of the Cut Sheet. We have more coming up around at 9:30. We'll come back. We'll get to some calls and a big three from Dawn. And then in the final hour, the 9 o'clock hour, I want to go towards a couple of things that we have some follow-ups with, including Anthony Mackie of Captain America. And we also have to rip New York Magazine, because New York Magazine tried to do a crop job with a photo of a MAGA ball gathering. And they tried to make it look like it was a racist cult, implying that there were no people of color. But if you would have just taken the full photo, you would see it was very diverse. New York Magazine, shame on you, but the internet's perfect. And we'll get to your exposing next here on Kale & Company.
First, my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs and innovative features, and they're powered by the very latest in technology. Right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. PIAZZA PremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Jimmy Kelly fired it a little prematurely. My neck almost broke. Dawn's head almost fell off her shoulders. We'll get to the big three here coming up in just a moment. It's Kale & Company as we continue here, 8:42. On this Thursday morning, Nick Dawn and Sean Farish. Sean Farish in for Greg Stocker. A couple of things that we will get to after the big three, which is moments away. We do want to get to, obviously, the updates with what's going on in Arlington. Dawn will have that as well as other things. Also, we have to give some updates to the Anthony Mackie Captain America story that has gone viral with his comments. Once again, Hollywood just so disconnected from reality and the everyday person. Also, New York Magazine and also Variety, many outlets reporting this. I saw it from Variety yesterday. But Meta and Mark Zuckerberg will now compensate and settle with Donald Trump after they banned him from their platforms 4 years ago to the tune of $25 million. All of those stories.
I got banned once, too. Can I have money?
Yeah, I think they're going to give you $2,500 coming your way. Would you like Venmo or PayPal, sir?
I'll take $2,500. That's more than I thought I'd get, honestly.
Same
you know,
year.
$25 million's all right, but yeah. I mean, I sound like the president, so I should get something.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, now we will get to a big three from Dawn Stensland at 8:44, Jimmy Kelly. And now he doesn't.
Big three.
Take your time, Jimbo.
Sponsored by First Bank this morning. We'll get right to it. We have the breaking news story this morning that we've been following for you. This tragic plane crash that happened last night where you had a commercial airliner, a small airliner carrying 64 people, and it collided with or crashed with a military chopper, Black Hawk. And this happened just as it was coming upon landing, of course, at Reagan National Airport, which is now diverting all flights and shut down until further notice, at least until 11 a.m. today. By the way, Philadelphia International Airport is handling some of those diverted flights, diverted away from Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport after that mid-air collision between the American Airlines jet and the Black Hawk chopper. The headlines this morning, within the past a little over an hour at this point, the officials came out, including the new Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, literally within the first, let's say he was just sworn in on Tuesday. This is Thursday morning. So on the new job, speaking out there along with all of the other officials, what we're learning here and the one headline tragically is that they've switched it from a rescue mission to a recovery, meaning they do not believe there are any survivors. For me, I will tell you one of the most emotional moments was when you saw, because of those bodies they've recovered, 27 at least bodies they've pulled from the 36-degree water, high windy conditions. But one body they've recovered is a military serviceman that was aboard that Black Hawk. And you saw the first responders as they had a stretcher, the U.S. serviceman, and they draped his body in a flag. I mean, and they're all at salute, standing at attention, firefighters and all those first responders, not necessarily military members, you know, they're first responders. And by the way, there are hundreds of them. They're the real heroes, if you will, of this. They've been working in courageous, brave situations with that frigid water and then the wind, very bad, dangerous conditions. In any event, we don't know the identity of the victim, that service member, but all of those first responders by the dozens, and they lined up as they then rolled that stretcher of the body of the deceased. You just saw that respect, and you just... Sure. You felt that pain.
The Army is saying it was, quote, a fairly experienced Black Hawk crew. Fairly experienced.
We don't know. They you know, and here's the thing.
Had night vision goggles on.
And we've heard about those crashes. So there are many questions. For example, there are many of those saying that if you look at this video and it was captured, the collision was captured by multiple different cameras in this day and age. But there are many saying that who approved of this mission, that this was some kind of a practice mission. So who approved of that? What happened here? And these three soldiers on board are believed all to be perished, as they still are searching for all of these bodies. But they're confirming that the passengers on the flight, including a group of figure skaters, their coaches, some of their family members, they were returning from a development camp that followed the U.S. Figure Skating Championships that just happened in Wichita. So there are reportedly some D.C. officials, obviously, because this is, you know, on one side you have Arlington, Virginia. On the other side, you know, as you know, it's D.C. So we will continue to look for the names, the identities. Families have to be notified, all of that. But there have been so many emotional moments, but I think that one was a poignant moment this morning.
Yes. You know, you mentioned in one of the first rounds of your reporting on this that it usually takes about a year for the investigation to conclude to get results. But boy, the way the Trump administration is hitting the ground running, Operation Warp Speed, no pun intended, getting results, makes me wonder if we'll find out sooner rather than later based on, you know, the typical timeline. Especially with Black Hawk, you know, military personnel involved. Maybe this gets expedited to the top and, you know, we get the truth quickly or quicker.
Well, and for those families, because the family members, you know, first of all, I had mentioned earlier that the pilot known as Sully or the hero on the Hudson, he has been speaking out as well and being interviewed. I don't know if there's audio or video of him, but in print, he was contacted. And he was the one who, and it was a miracle on the Hudson, that movie with, you mentioned, it's Tom Hanks was the star in that one. But a passenger plane, he landed, obviously, the Hudson River, New York, back in 2009. And in that one, you know, you had 150 people. Everyone was saved. It was amazing how he could land that. And it's an incredible movie if you've never seen it. But he was asked about it. And he said that, for example, when you're going over a river because there are no lights. So the fact that this is over the Potomac, it's very dark. Remember that for Sully, it was broad daylight. It was January, but it was broad daylight in 2009.
It was frigid that day too, right? And
it was frigid. Yep. Yesterday, 50 degrees. Mm-hmm. But the difference now is that you have, this one's a collision. His situation was that they had a flock of geese and they blamed it on the geese. Mm-hmm. And this one, the question is, what happened here? Was it a mission that was, you know, what was going on here? I'm not going to speculate.
$5 says Sully will be on with Jesse Waters tonight.
Yeah, here's what he's talking about, how difficult it is, you know, certain things that they have to learn from. And I think in his print interviews that I've seen this morning, he's being very careful because remember, he was wrongfully accused.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, his airline was trying to say, oh, this was pilot error. Mm-hmm. And it crushed him and crushed his family. Yep. And then he was exonerated once they could prove that, yes, indeed, this was a flock of geese. It was, and that on the opposite side, he, in fact, was a real hero, the fact that he was able to navigate.
Oh, yeah, he saved all those lives.
Saved all those lives.
Yes,
and
indeed.
So he in particular is somebody this morning who's reminding everyone, you know, don't judge the pilots or make the speculation to blame an individual, especially because all of these people are deceased, believed to be deceased, I should say.
Yep.
So we're following that for you this morning, and as well following the latest with regard to how President Trump and the White House, all of the new administration, they're putting out social media comments. The other big story is that three more Israeli hostages, five Thai nationals who were kidnapped by Hamas terrorists on this day 482 of the hostage crisis in the Middle East. Well, they were freed this morning, and that's 19-year-old Agamberger, 80-year-old Gadi Moses, and 29-year-old Arbel Yehu. They were received by the Red Cross there, the International Committee of Red Cross, and then as well 110 Palestinians were released on the other side. So as far as this has been going on, and remember, this all began less than 24 hours before President Donald J. Trump was sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. A total of 15 Israeli hostages have now been set free, many more to come. So we're following that one for you. Number three, I was trying to find out something a little lighter because it's a heavy, prayerful morning as we are all waking up to this. Certainly this happened last night, but now learning all the details, the tragic details. I did see, as far as the Eagles go, because we are preparing for our Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl. Yeah, the Super Bowl, Sunday, February 9th. Did Dora the Explorer, did Dora endorse or say that she's rooting for the Chiefs?
Oh, a Disney character endorsement?
What?
No, Dora she got the Explorer.
What is she?
Tom Hogan shipped her out.
Yeah. Sean Farish with the line of the morning. Dora got it.
Can we deport SpongeBob while we're at it? Get that little square dope out of this country.
But so oh, now boy. Is well, maybe Dora is she an Eagles fan because Trump is not? You know, I don't. Or is she a Chiefs fan because Trump is? I don't know. But they were. That was going a little viral.
I'm just assuming any voice talent that voices any of these godforsaken Disney Plus shows probably is rooting for the Chiefs because they probably all idolize Taylor Swift and wish that they were dating Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Doesn't she have an eagle on her show?
Does she? I don't know. That was one of the shows that my daughters didn't watch.
A little cute little monkey.
Yeah.
And the map. She always, what if
backpack.
I had those
we
eyes?
Like,
yeah, she has the eyes like.
We deported Dora the Explorer because she was smuggling drugs through her backpack.
Stop.
You know, terrible.
It's a sin. It's a sin.
Swipe or no swiping, right? We swiped her right out of here. She's gone.
We are sponsored by First Bank, ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner. You can count on First Bank for personalized support, smart solutions. Help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and Piazza Auto Group sponsors our forecast. A sunny forecast for you today. 42 degrees, bright sunny skies. We will be 49 degrees tomorrow, but with some showers moving in. And then for your weekend, 42-ish with partly sunny skies. Back to normal weather for this time of year as we transition into the month of February. The full Honda lineup is available today at your local Piazza Honda dealer, Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Just get financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months on select models online. PiazzaHonda.com, PIAZZA. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Actually, Jimmy Kelly, let's squeeze in a call before we wrap up the hour. I want to go to line two. Let's get Bob in Richboro in here. Bob, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, Nick.
Yes.
Hey, real quick, my son used to run a big landscape company in California. One Friday afternoon, a guy comes in. He says, I want to switch my social security number. And he goes, oh, my gosh. And he hands him the security number. He goes, this hurts my head. Come back in on Monday and we'll talk about it. He comes in on Monday. He goes, oh, no, I got a different social security number. Here he was an illegal alien. Yep. And he thought whoever brought him into the country You could buy any social security number you want. And that, and
well,
and
you can be any gender you want these days, Bob. So what the hell? Let's just, we'll change our numbers, you know?
So he, and he passed Verify, E-Verify, and my son seems to think it's coming from Puerto Rico. Pete, you could go down there. I could get a bunch of people and say, here, here's a grand for your social security, maybe even $500 or $100.
Right.
And he, and then come back here and sell those.
So it was an authentic social security number, but it obviously did not apply to the illegal alien because he was here illegally.
100%.
Now, did he fire the employee?
Oh, 100%. And then he checked back a little bit later. He was working for the construction company down the road because he E-Verify said he was legal.
Jesus.
He fixed that.
He took his talents down the street to the next landscaping company. Unbelievable. I've heard those stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dawn, you had, I think you mentioned 2 days ago on the air, mm-hmm. the Texas story with your the identity theft, right?
Yep. But nobody does anything about it, that, or they didn't. And so that's a real E-Verify. They need to fix that system.
Yeah.
A picture of you with, now that we're going to get the real ID finally coming up, or I don't know, they need to figure that out, where a picture of you.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was a man who was working as a janitor in a Texas big company. And so you're telling me that even the I'm a woman all the way here in Philadelphia, and that doesn't come up.
Uh-huh.
That, like, my name should come up when they type that social in, right?
Right. But,
so I don't understand. They do need to fix it.
Unbelievable. Thanks for the call, Bob. 855-839-1210. Fourth and final hour coming up next. We get to Meta. We get to Captain America. And we also get to New York Magazine trying to create racism by deliberately fooling their audience. It's Kale and Company. Final hour on the way.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such professionalism, precision, and care. From the custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, to those all-important storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Just go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.